stage exit strategy in terms of the lockdown. And South Africa is now in a level 5 lockdown, which requires drastic measures to save lives. Now, level 4 allows some activity to resume, while levels 3 and level 2 erase restrictions and promote social distancing. Level 1 means that most activities can return to normal. Here with us, obviously, to discuss and just talk about the national lockdown and lessons learned, and obviously steps forward, which is so important because so many things has been happening since March, early March, and it's every single day something new is happening. So what lessons has government learned, and what steps can we expect going forward in relation with the national lockdown and COVID-19?
Thanks. I think that's a good evening to all our listeners, and good evening to, I think, all 10 stations that's listening in this evening. I think we have learned phenomenal lessons from the COVID-19 way that we have dealt with the lockdown. I think the first thing we must say, from just a liquor alcohol perspective,
yes,
we have seen when the consumption of liquor, or the sales of liquor firstly, was kind of banned during this period. We have also seen, of course, a drop in consumption, but we have seen the kind of positive effects of that, and the impact of that is that you will not believe our murder rate in this province. That's every weekend we dread to wake up to go and see what Monday morning is going to look like. From Thursday evening to Monday morning, we normally have very, very high, from 105, 107. That dropped completely down to more than 50%, and we are elated about that. We also have seen Grootske up the road here, Tigerberg trauma units, what's it called, Bremer, all our trauma units were empty over this lockdown period. In fact, over the Easter weekend, there were 3 trauma-related cases at Grootske. By the way, our road accidents, everyone dread Easter and the road accidents over Easter. You remember that? All of us, we are afraid of it, because people went to Hanadendal and they come back and all these accidents on the road. We had 3 motor car accidents, 3 fatalities. In other words, 3 deaths on the road during this Easter. It's just absolutely phenomenal. So one of the issues that we have learned, we are really going to take a lot of lessons as government from the whole COVID way that we regulate. We will take, as the liquor authority, because remember, community safety, we're also responsible for liquor and the management and the policing of liquor. Correct. In this province, we're going to do that. And I also will perhaps later speak about some of the impacts and the things that we're already doing during COVID.
I mean, yes,
14 14 outlets had their licenses already suspended, and they may just lose it completely because they were trading during this period when they were not supposed to trade during the lockdown. And if they get a fine, because that's now subject to an investigation, the fine can go up to 115,610 rand. So I don't know where the 10 rand comes in, but 610. And I tell you, it's a huge fine, because people must learn to really respect the law. I'm just absolutely, we are elated with the impact of the lockdown regulations on liquor and the misuse of liquor. We have seen that was one of our biggest headaches.
Also, I also note that also in terms of the state of food security in our province, do you have any info with regards to that? Because that seems to be one of the, one of the things that's obviously came up, and it's a bone of contention. Everyone is talking about it.
I think Kim will speak to that, because she's our expert on food security and food distribution.
Thank you, Minister. Good evening, Wayne, and all the listeners this evening. Food has become a major talking point around the province, because food is what everybody needs to eat. And at the outset, I think it's important for us to say thank you to all the organizations, the NGOs, individuals. There's been so many campaigns going around with people having food drives and making sure that people in the communities have access to food. So a huge thank you to everyone who's playing a role, apart from government and the more formal kind of channels, but the more informal on the ground kind of activities happening to ensure that people have access to food. What the Western Cape government is doing through our Department of Social Development is that we've made additional funding available for food relief, for the food relief program, which includes the distribution of 50,000 food parcels. And there's a bit of criteria in terms of accessing those food parcels, and that is that are affected by the COVID-19 infections. So if a member or a family member is tested positive and you're in quarantine, then you are eligible to have access to a food parcel, as well as if you are if you have insufficient means of sustaining your household. So that means you don't have income or any means of acquiring food. The other one is that a person that is chronically ill who has been assessed by a medical doctor or a local clinic, if you're not ill and you have the proof that you are on chronic meds and so on, then you are eligible to apply for the food parcel. The other criteria is that you, if you're in a household and you are, you don't have access to funding, if you have insufficient funds just to sustain yourself, and if you are particularly those who are waiting to get access to social grants, they will be prioritized to access the grant as well. So of course the big question around it is how do we access this? Because if the thing that's been one of the key things going around, people wanting to know how do they actually go about doing that. And so what they can do is they can call the call center, the West of the DSD's call center on 0800-220-250, and we'll give those numbers again at the end of the show. Also through municipal managers, your humanitarian relief agencies, any registered NGOs, or and all of that will then go to social development, social workers. And if you then do qualify, if you meet the criteria, you will receive a telephonic phone call from a social worker who will then assess the situation. And if you do qualify, you'll be contacted by the department who will then make sure that you get your parcel.
Can they also get in contact with their counselors in their area as well?
They can do that as well. The key thing is that it just gets channeled through to the Department of Social Development so that we can control and make sure that the ones that really, really need the resources are able to access the parcels. And yeah, like I said, the key thing is at this point, it's important that all of us work together to ensure that everybody goes to bed with a meal. And the department is, I think, SASSA, of course, is the national agency, and that it's their primary sort of task to ensure that people receive it. And in addition to SASSA's endeavors, the Department of the Social Development is coming along and saying, what more can we do to ensure that people have access to food during this time?
Well, I just need to add that this is over and above all the other kind of food distributions in most of our areas. But I just want to make a comment around a many, many but at school level for children, where children can go and get some nice warm food. At in many of the communities we support, as the Department of Community Safety and me in my private capacity,
yes,
support a number of soup kitchens where we go and take a whole lot of lentils, a whole lot of red lentils and brown lentils and rice, and we have an agreement with the local butcher that will give us the off-cut meat.
Tell
it makes an amazing meal. I enjoy it with everyone else. But the point we want to make is there's a whole lot of food being provided, and therefore the call by the police to ask for that people just get some kind of controls, and there's no one is just because the gangsters also started coming into the space of giving food. And I think the whole call was then for people just to say to the police that we are going to feed children in this area so that social distancing will be maintained and all the other kind of issues around the regulations.
Just a question that just came in. Evening, a lot of people are making food to feed the neighbors and others in community. Do they need any permit to do so? And how long does the food parcels process take? That's a question that just comes.
The food parcel part, I think after the process, your name goes onto a list, and that and I used to be in that department, so I know that headache. There's a whole team working on the distribution of it. We try and keep counselors to assist with identifying the vulnerable people, but not to get into the process of deciding who must get. The assessment must always be made by the social worker who's completely supposed to be neutral.
Yes.
And I hope they are neutral, and they will be neutral. So that, you know, you don't make food a political football, because if people are hungry, they're hungry. They don't ask you what type of T-shirt you wear. So that's the first thing. But the permit issue is an issue purely because, and there's no need for brutality from anyone. if people don't have, if people out of the goodness of their heart cooking food, and the police come, and the police is supposed to say to them, like we all, you know, in this period, say to them, listen, ma'am, you need a permit fee today, but please come down to us tomorrow so that you can just get a permit that we know you are feeding, because we are supposed to manage, we are supposed to police the social distancing issue. In that's the reason, that's the logic of it. It's not to stop everyone, because people are really doing it. Some people, pensioners, are buying with their last bit, to even if they feed 10 people, you know, they're sharing. That's the humanity we also learned from this, from this COVID-19. I must tell you, amazing humanity. The mense, we are mense geword, you know, they really became human again. So yeah,
also in terms of the community, there's so many things happening. And we've obviously seen it, have you been driving around, and what's happening in the current community. The issue with regards to a screening, can you tell us about more about the community and what the screening entails?
My dearest, Kayla will talk about the screening.
Okay, hello Kayla.
Hi. So yeah, I'm going to talk to you about screening, but first I just want to say that if you're wanting to donate, and if you're wanting to support in terms of donating food to your community, then you're welcome to contact service@westerncape.gov.za, and they will assist you in this regard. Now, with regards to screening, screening is being conducted door-to-door by trained field workers. The screening will be done using simple verbal questions to identify people who may require testing. Health workers will ask questions related to symptoms. So, for example, if you have a sore throat, a cough, a fever, screening will be done via community workers visiting homes or mobile units in your areas. So, for example, you might see a gazebo with the Western Cape government logo on it.
Yeah.
Our field workers will also have ID tags and identifiable clothing, so you'll know who they are. They're trustworthy people, and they won't cause harm to you. So please support our fight against the spread of coronavirus and allow us to help you through our workers who will provide the necessary screening. Thereafter, testing will be done if the questions indicate that you require a further test. The health workers will refer you to the closest testing center. The test will be done by taking a swab from either your nose or from your throat. This will either be done in a clinic or in a mobile area within your community. Test results will not be immediately available, but patients will be followed up with and advised of their status. If you are looking for more information on screening, then you are welcome to go to the Western Cape Government website. They have an extensive list of FAQs on screening, on testing, so please go check it out.
So if people have more questions, you're most welcome to WhatsApp. The number there is 0618621065. We're having our discussion here with the Minister Fritz. Also have in studio Kim Smith, Kayla Murray, with regards to the way forward in terms of so many things that's happening with the pandemic, obviously, and obviously the five stages that has just been mentioned by the announced by the president on the 23rd of April. The one thing that's it, and I, you know, it's difficult. Some people would. The whole issue with regards to social distancing, is it important? Why is it important? I know for a fact, for me, it is very important. I experienced this today. And there's people that don't understand it, and people, they just think it's normal. It's just to be next to people. But we've become accustomed to social distancing. Is it important?
Oh, it's absolutely important. And I think social distancing is crucial, you know, during this period for absolutely preventing the spread of the COVID virus. I mean, it's just, and I think you made it, you actually said the point. Everyone, we're so conscious of it now.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, only in certain areas people are absolutely conscious of it. You know, and the point about social distancing is people next to you can so easily sneeze, they can cough, you know, just any form of coughing, they can, any form of close contact must just be avoided. And that's why we must limit going to the shop. I can't express that or, you know, really more impress upon people more. Just if you need to go desperately to the shop, go, because that's where you're going to pick it up. I think the other point is also by minimizing the amount of close contact we have with other people, we reduce our chances of catching the virus. And I mean, this is the point. And of spreading it to our beloved ones. And that's the import. You can spread it to your very, very loved ones in your own home. It's really, this virus kills. Eh? It's not a joke. Mm-hmm. We've seen the death tallies in this province alone. And although the risk is severe illness, and it may differ from person to person, everyone has a role to play in slowing down, and we need this role. Mm. I know President is tomorrow night going to speak around relaxing or taking it down to the fourth level. We, everyone, will earn our stripes if we contribute to taking it down even to level 3, to level 2, but we will earn, and if we're not, it's going up to level 5, back to level 5. And that's the unfortunate thing.
Just another question that just came in. All people in townships are not listening to the lockdown. What can be done to enforce the lockdown and for level 4, the 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew? And then also, can you talk about level 4 and what can and can't be done? What can and can't be done?
I think the most important, because remember, this whole week we all had to make contributions and suggestions to the national government, to all the ministers who make the regulations. And so we can't tonight say what is actually going to be exactly be done in level 4, because let me give you one practical example. There's a whole lot of issues around hot food in restaurants, not in restaurants, in supermarkets that were stopped now.
Correct, yeah.
So the one suggestion is to bring that back. So if you want to go buy a chicken at Woolworths, to be able to go buy a hot chicken. But that's one of our suggestions back to the national government, who will finally tomorrow, our president is going to announce exactly. First, he's going to make the general announcement, and then the ministers will make their very specific announcements relating to their specific portfolios. But one other example, I just want to say, and I'm passionate about this example. Through the first regulations, right up to now, neighborhood watches and community police forums were not allowed to patrol. And I'm not talking about doing police work. Mm-hmm. We're talking about that management that you were talking about, the queue at the clinic. Talking about, if you go to ShopRite in any township, it's like a mass meeting. To get that assist the police and authorities with getting that social distancing right and assisting the shop. And I tell you, we have made another representation to the ministers clearly, but also to the president, to ask him to please allow our neighborhood watches to operate, because, and we will provide all the personal protective equipment. Our homes are being broken in at the moment, unfortunately, in many areas, and we have very organized neighborhood watches, and they're not afforded the opportunity to protect their own neighborhood watch. And I'm talking about township neighborhood watches, I'm talking about the upper class neighborhood, anyway, everywhere. All of us, COVID don't discriminate against you. Mm-hmm. They attack you and you die like anyone else. They doesn't ask you what color you before he wants to attack you. COVID is evil. Let's prevent it from taking us.
Also, we discuss normally on this type of platform the department's flagship program, the Chrysalis Academy. Can you just give us some more information, update on steps that's been taken currently with regards to that?
I will ask Kim again, our expert on that.
So, yeah, I mean, this time it's an unprecedented time, and I think the role of technology is really coming,
yes,
playing a very strong and important role at this point in time. So usually what we do is with our social crime prevention program, Chrysalis Academy, they have three cohorts every year. So the first is usually January until for 3 months, and then the second one in March, and then another one in September. So the second one is supposed to start on the 9th of May, but we're now looking at the 16th of May.
Yes.
But also just depending on what the outcome of tomorrow's, as Minister was saying, but we are looking at innovative ways around reaching people using technology. So already at the moment they've got psychosocial support, and they've got a whole lot of programs and ways of reaching young people via Facebook, which is, we know young people have access to Facebook. And so we are looking at innovative ways of using technology to still be able to implement many of our social crime prevention programs.
Thank you. But, you know, Melissa, we've been talking about earlier on about, you know, obviously in terms of law and order, which is absolutely needed during a time like this. And a lot of things, I mean, a week ago and 2 weeks ago, you know, if you open your Facebook, you're on social media, you open up your phone, your WhatsApp, you saw all these video clips coming through of so many things that's happening. There's a number of reports of looting, shops and liquor stores, vandalism, schools. The idea is to open schools very shortly, but if you look in other provinces, there's so many schools that's been broken into. I mean, these children are going to go to schools that there's probably no chairs or it's broken. What steps is government taking to address this?
That's a very good question. Because about 2 weeks ago, we had 44 schools in this province vandalized. Remember, they were broken into, just smashed for the sake, because there's no value. They stole computers at one, 44, I think, 50 computers at one school.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about laptops, very, very nice laptops that our children need.
Yes.
I think the point we're making, this is exactly our reason why we're asking that community police forums and neighborhood watches can operate. And let me give you a practical example. Montague Primary hasn't been broken into for 11 years. You know why? Because the neighborhood watch is based in a classroom at a school.
Wow.
Not for 11 years. There's no company, security company. It's that. The schools belong to our neighborhoods. It's our children's schools. Can we protect it? And neighborhood watches, as the word says, neighborhood, they protect it. So I think that's the very, very, very important point, you know, that I think we need to emphasize. The other point I just quickly want to also, just in that hole, what we will ensure all our neighborhood watches, and we're already doing docs, the Department of Community Safety, will now look at the cloth mask, you know, the one that's made of material.
Yes.
For police stations, we will now get for every police station, and specifically first our police stations in the most hotspot areas, that all our police officers are issued with proper cloth masks, and they will probably be given two so that they can wash the one and wear the other one the next day. The second point I want to all our neighborhood watches, if we allow them, we will also do that to them. And to our teachers, I'm in the business of finding people who are good-hearted who make these poor ladies are making it. And I'm asking all of them if they have just 10 each one of, you know, just 10 to donate to a central, you know, they can really please also donate mask. It will go to all our frontline workers, and those guys need it desperately. They're protecting us against the virus.
And I'm also liking the way that the communities has come together and supporting wherever they can. You can actually see it on social media. And it's not the whole issue about, you know, we're bragging, we're doing this. It's just to show that this camaraderie, people are really coming out to support and trying to make sure that we get rid of this pandemic as soon as possible. Now, in terms of... you know, the whole idea is as mentioned earlier about when people are have you suspect that you have the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Is there you know, there's in different communities, yeah, you have people that will look down on you if you have the community. People, you know, people can be like, okay, you've got the, so there's a certain stigma that comes attached to that as well. If people want to be in private, if they want to like phone and want to, you know, they suspect, look, we might have it. Is there a particular hotline that they can call or toll free? What do they do?
Okay, so there is a national hotline, and the national hotline is 0800, and then another 029999. So it's 0800.
Yes.
029999. That's the national hotline. Then there's a provincial hotline, and this is based at, you know, at Tigerberg Hospital, at 021-928-4102. And then there's a WhatsApp number for those people who's really, you know, that is 0600-123456. It's enormous from the
straightforward.
Straightforward.
Okay. Any final words, Minister, and for our listeners out there, just to give them at ease, because we're going through this process and, you know, we need their support. Yeah. But words from you, we'd like to know. Yeah.
I want to firstly say, from a community safety point of view, I want to firstly say thank you to all our citizens, because we always try, treat everyone as if they're all bad, you know. I want to say to all of citizens that's really, I've been adhering to the regulations, stayed at home, did everything that they were asked by government, and there are many, the majority of our communities, all of them have listened to what the government asked them. I want to say to them a very, very, very big thank you. And then I want to say also to the others. And the interesting thing with level 4 is that our premier in this province can also decide, no man, but that area is not listening. And why are we allowing other people to spoil our personal individual freedom? We can get to level 3 and 2 quicker, but there are these guys who are spoiling it. We must as a community start dealing with them. And I'm not talking about violence. I'm just saying we must put social pressure on them. And I think the beauty of that is we want to call, say to them, they will be arrested, unfortunately, and it's terrible to be this kind of, in Afrikaans, a nice word, krachtdadig, you know, everyone, we don't want the police and the army to be like that, but I really think people, this is a serious, serious virus, and it kills you. It doesn't make jokes with you. We've seen the killings. I mean, people die of it. We ask people to please adhere to it. Stay away from everywhere. Don't go to parties. Don't even try and have a braai. Stay at home. We can braai after. When we have a victory, we can call it like a war victory. But really, please stay at home. Adhere to social distancing. Try and assist the older and the vulnerable where you can. And please, please, please don't violate the regulations so that we can go right down to level 1 and be free citizens in this country. Unfortunately, we have been held hostage by a virus. Let's fight that virus. Thank you very much.
Minister Frist, thank you very much for that wise words. And I hope our citizens out there, not just in the Western Cape, but everyone that's listening around South Africa and even that's on streaming, please adhere to the advice that's been brought to the by the minister. And also to Kim and Kayla, thank you so much for your participation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. It was great. Always nice.